Hi, folks, and welcome to Conversations on a Tightrope. This is Atrevida, and today I have with me Miss Barbara Missy Runyon of Friends of the Feathered and Furry Wildlife Center, located in Hunter, New York. I met Miss Runyon at the Caro Temperance and Tommy Gun Festival this summer, and when I saw her standing with a beautiful barred owl named Shmoo, I just had to learn more about her rescue organization. There is so much good she does for our wildlife that I asked her to share her love, knowledge, and experiences with WGXC listeners. There is much to be learned about wildlife and how we can live harmoniously with them, but it will mean changing some of our misconceptions and, quite honestly, our lazy and crude habits when visiting their habitat. So thank you, Barbara, for accepting my invitation and allowing me to visit your center, which is not generally open to the public. I was quite impressed with your facilities, care, and obvious abounding affection you have for all of these animals, which consisted of the snake, squirrels, turtles, gray fox, red fox, barn and barred owls, hawks, deer, and various smaller birds. Sorry I missed the beautiful bear cub you had there recently. Can you first talk a bit about your organization, how old it is, how it got organized, etc.? Also the procedures, then you can maybe talk about the education and licensing and working with wildlife and your collaboration with the Department of Environmental
Conservation.
Yes.
I've been licensed for quite a few years now, just about 7-8 years. And for years I did domestic animal rescue. And as years went on, people would bring you wildlife injured, or, you know, if you can save one animal, you can save others. And then you find out that doing wildlife rehabilitation requires multiple licenses, and you know, it's illegal to take in wildlife without the proper permits. So it starts in with a test that you take through the Department of Environmental Conservation, and then there's migratory birds, and you need to be licensed for over 2 years. So there's a whole procedure to end up with 5-6 permits, as I do in New York State. Requires that you have countless enclosures. Well, as you saw when you came to the wildlife center, you know, the enclosures need to be built specifically to each species, and no matter how dedicated, or, I mean, the diets are, there's over 40 diets on hand between songbirds and deer, and the milk requirements, and 2-3 weeks worth of specialty formula for nursing fawns is $400 plus. So it's not something you take lightly when, you know, you're dedicated to it, and you need to be dedicated to it.
And what kind of injuries do you find when you get called in, when you have to rescue some of these animals?
It depends. You know, it varies. So most of it, one of the famous quotes the Department of Environment and Conservation use, and some other, you know, people uses, I was going to let nature take its course, per se. And unfortunately, I don't come across anything caused by nature in all these years. Maybe I've had one or two deer attacked by a coyote, which is nature. Mm-hmm. And I do not intervene with nature. You know, there's predatory species and there's prey. And that's, you know, that is nature. Everything that I'm called in for, or it's a hit by car, electrocutions, poisonings, gunshot wounds, and that's not nature. You know, we don't let nature take its course. Nature didn't cause that. It's all caused by man. Domestic animals, people that do not walk their dogs on leashes, cannot control their domestic animals. It's cute because the dog is playing with that rabbit and it crushes its skull. You know, it's not cute, it's not play. 75% of all small mammals and songbirds are caused by cat bites.
And really?
Yes. So, you know, there's...
You were telling me about a raccoon that had gotten plastic.
Yep. We were securing garbage. I mean, between the town of Lexington, Prattsville, all these different places where people come to visit. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's some local people as well. You're driving past and you see a dumpster and you lay your bags next to the dumpster and then so on and so forth, and more people do it. And then all of a sudden I'm picking up myself, and volunteers are picking up anywhere, you know, from 2,000 to 1,500 pounds of garbage on a monthly basis, so that the animals aren't entangled in it. Yogurt containers, sour cream containers, the plastic bags from the shopping center. The raccoon had gotten entangled in one of the bags, and the handle wrapped around his neck and hand. And as he tried to pull from the handle, the plastic from his neck, it tightened around his arm, in which he ended up amputating his own arm.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can look at a pile of garbage and say, well, it's just garbage, you know. But all of it is a potential hazard to wildlife. Plus, usually people get lazy and they throw it right by the side of the road, like the issue on the mountain road, that the big controversy with, you know, almost 100 bags of garbage. And, you know, we picked up a lot of bottles and, you know, alcoholic beverages. All that stuff is toxic, and people were dropping whole watermelons and sandwiches and mangoes and fruits, and this brings all animals to the roadway. The edge of the roadway gives them about 6 to 8 inches on either side. And, you know, once they secure, they walk away. We've had 4 hit by cars on the mountain road just last weekend. And the fifth was a bear that he got caught in his hind end. And he didn't die on the spot like the rest of them. But, you know, he's still injured out there because of stupidity and laziness.
You know, I must say that I grew up without any real sensitivity. You drop something in the woods or they'll eat it. You don't mm-hmm. worry about it because you really don't have any real idea of how detrimental it can be, that they need to forage for themselves and not let us be the ones to be feeding them and leaving food around. So I think there's a lot of ignorance in that case, and we really need to concentrate and teach children at a young age, not only from the city, but even in the country, because there
absolutely.
Are country attitudes that aren't too hot either when it
absolutely.
Comes to these wild animals.
I mean, we all up here, we all live among them, and I do. I mean, one of the permits that I have is an educational permit where you met Shmoo and Maisie and Braveheart and Apollo. And
oh, they're beautiful, really.
And Vladimir Todd, which is the rat snake. And, you know, as scared of Vladimir as everybody is, I take him to programs purposely, because everywhere we show up, there's somebody that runs for the hills because they're afraid of them. And 90% of the time, they take their heads off with shovels because they're snakes. No other reason. They're just snakes, and they're afraid of snakes. And then you meet one, and you're able to touch him and realize that he's not slimy and he's not, you know, sneaky. And, you know, snakes are an important part of you know, the food chain. And there's, you know, everything's here for a purpose. There's birds that eat ticks. There's, you know, and right on up. And you know, where the rodents go, your house is infested with rodents, and you don't like that part, but you kill all the snakes that would eat the rodents. Or, you know, to that, or you put all the, you know, the decon and the toxins. So everybody thinks, well, it's just a toxin in my house. But that's not the case, because that toxin does not kill that mouse immediately. What happens is they consume the toxin, they leave the premises, and the fox eat the toxin, and then I get the fox, he's bleeding internally. Or vice, you know, as it goes on, it doesn't happen. But if you would just leave the snakes would take care of the rodents, and, you know, the coyotes eat the woodchucks, and that's nature.
And that's
but it's once we intervene that it gets all, you know, like anything else, it gets all screwed up, yes.
I know. One of the things I was telling you was about, they started this summer with the woodchuck problem
right.
next door to me at my neighbor, and I don't have a lot of land, so I'm right in the town of Cairo. And it really upset me. I always thought they were kind of cute, but they never got that close. They never burrowed where I'd walk out my door 2 steps and there they were with their family.
Right.
And then when I looked it up, they were saying how they can go under your house and they can crack your foundation or cause sinkholes. And, of course, I'm a worrywart, and I don't want that to happen. So when I went looking for all of these, it's a funny thing. When I went on Google, that's where I found out about fox urine granules. Mm-hmm. Nobody up here really seemed, not in Greene County anyway, because they sell them. They were selling them in Ulster County, but in Adams Ferreca Farms. But when I found out about that, most people here in Greene County said, you know, shoot them. But I, first of all, I don't like that idea even, but I also, they also sell these poison peanuts, and I didn't buy that because I...
Well, it's the same idea what happens with the rodents. Yeah. Just get carried away, and we, you know, the issue is the woodchuck is toxic, yes, but then whatever comes and consumes the woodchuck, even when they shoot them. I've had woodchuck come in when we x-ray them. There are people that, you know, there's other rehabilitators that sometimes use dead animals as prey for or food for their rehab animals, which I don't, because of the fact that so many people fill the woodchucks, the squirrels, and with, you know, lead shot and BBs and things like that. And that's all lead toxins. So now they, whatever you're feeding, you're giving lead poisoning.
So you're passing it on.
Absolutely.
And that's why you don't do it.
You know, there's people that teach their kids to, we've gotten in two hawks, we got two hawks in last year after doing a survey of why these hawks were coming in from this area with lead poisoning. This particular area, we found that somebody was teaching their children how to sight in their BB gun with lead BBs into mourning doves. Mourning doves, well, they weren't killing them. The BB shot was, you know, some of them are steel, but these happened to be lead. Excuse me. And they were shooting the mourning dove, in which the hawks, the Cooper's hawk, was one of his favorite snacks. And when he was consuming the mourning dove, he ended up suffering from lead poisoning due to the lead that was left into the dove. So the food chain is toxic in itself when, you know, I don't know what's wrong with the target. You know, we can shoot at a target. It doesn't have to be a live target that we leave lead into.
So things like fox urine granules or granules with the capsaicin or pep or something that you put down, that's not too bad, right?
No, it's actually just a deterrent.
Deterrent.
Right.
And the other thing I read is you should just constantly, you just need patience to keep filling the holes till they get tired of digging them.
Well, one of the things that in this area, any place that was affected by environmental, the hazards that it was, you know, Hurricane Irene and things like that, for those of us that were in the middle of Irene, there was an enormous amount of small ground-dwelling rodents and a lot of different, it was August. So there were anything that denned in the ground as quick as the water came up, drowned. So, you know, if you think back to what dens in the ground, from woodchucks to chipmunks to even some of the fox dens, the fox kits, adult deer, bear cubs, a lot of them didn't make it out of Irene. And when they were flood, you know, with the flooding the way it was, nature kind of replenishes itself. So now three of the species that I mentioned is what everybody's saying is coming back with vengeance this year. And they're seeing chipmunks all over and woodchuck and an enormous amount of red fox. Now, gray fox are cat-like. Although they are canids, they're up in trees. They den in hollow trees, woodpecker holes. They have semi-retractable claws to scale a tree, but red fox don't. They don't climb as well. So they were in the ground. Their kits were in the ground. The woodchucks were in the ground, chipmunks, all of that. So nature, you know, like I said, it's when we intervene, we kind of mess it up. But nature, it's nature replenishing itself. So whereas last year, this time, you know, come August, September, there was coyote up on porch. I got more calls that they were worried about animals, you know, being sick or injured because these coyotes are on the porch. But there was nothing for them to eat. The woodchuck drowned, the chipmunks drowned, all the small rodents drowned, the reptile, you know, those reptiles that didn't make it up. So now, you know, it's nature bringing it all back. And eventually, you know, by the end of the year, it'll straighten itself out again. We just have to be patient. But everybody thinks that, you know, toxins and traps and moving something from one place to another is going to solve it, and it's not. It's just being patient. It's the beauty of living up in any area.
I wouldn't mind so much if it wasn't so, densely connected to my neighbors. You know, it's like living on an acre of land is something than just having a 10-by-10 yard.
Oh, absolutely.
And then having them. But I felt bad that I was getting so crazy. I wanted to, I read things on the internet, which
right. Well, that's 75%
found
of what's on the internet. You know better than There's rehab sites that I visit on the internet that will actually kill every animal that they put it up there. So don't believe everything. That's what you call me for. So we'll straighten it out.
And I think it's important to know that that you're here, because a lot of people don't really know that you exist, or know that there are so many centers that are dealing with that will rescue rehab.
Yeah, there's a lot of licensed rehabbers if you go on paper. There's a lot of licensed rehabbers in New York State, in every state. I can't say that, that they're all going to go to, a lot of them are not preventative measures. I do myself, my volunteers, we do things to prevent the animal from having to come in. If there's a way to say, hey, this is what's going to happen if we don't straighten whatever the issue may be, so that it doesn't have to come into rehab, it's not hurt, or if it's an injury or a treatment that can be done as it's raising its kids. We don't kill an adult to raise babies. And there aren't a lot of people like that around, but, there are a lot of licensed rehabbers, and most important thing is they can refer you to somebody who can handle from bear cubs to coyote to fox to, there's some place to take the dangerous ones as well.
It might be a good suggestion to tell people who want to spend a weekend in a park or a state park, or that they should take the DEC telephone number or find out local places in case they see something.
Right. Well, you could always also just call your local police department. They usually get the same list that the DEC sends out to all your for instance, Greene County 911 will have a list of rehabilitators to call and what the situation is. So
maybe we'll get back to some advice you might have. You were talking to Al, our engineer, about his chipmunk problem in his attic, and I noticed that your
squirrels. Yes.
Squirrels.
Yep.
And I noticed your squirrels at your center. I have never seen such happy squirrels. I mean, you had burlap, bags, colorful bags that they were jumping in and out of and hugging each other, and I wish I could have that much fun.
Well, what looked like hugging was actually hostility. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very territorial. So.
But what kind of advice were you mentioning? What is the best way to deal with? Because I once had squirrels way up in my roof. Birds were there. They came out and they let the squirrels come in, and I ended up having to call someone to try and trap the squirrels because it was a big problem for me.
Well, it's always, the biggest concern this time of year, which is from, March and April to the end of September, is that you don't want to trap anything and relocate it when you have babies that are there. And everything has babies now, So the best thing to do, of course, is to get them, when they're out during the day, and if you can trap, you can close up. I mean, the best thing to do is the best advice I can give anybody is to check, don't just assume that, oh, it's an old house, I'm going to have, there's preventative measures that you can take, which is don't wait for the squirrels to move in, try and close up some of the holes, chimney entrances, replace the board that needs to replace before you can blame the raccoon or the squirrel or anything that got in there. And as soon as there's destruction involved, and then people feel as if they're justified to kill something because it's destroyed. But meanwhile, they wouldn't get in if the house wasn't destroyed in the first place, that area. So if we can get a jump on fixing what's broken already, then you know, because they get in at your weakest points. They get in at small entryways where you just say, I'll fix it next time. But by the time you come to fix it next time, you're also killing three or four things that live inside there. And
well, you know, I didn't put the bats on my list to talk to you about, but this reminds me of my first wildlife problem, which almost put me in the mental institution. It happened two summers in a row, and I was sleeping at 3 a.m, and I had been doing some breaking down of a wall, and I didn't finish the work, and in the middle of the night, there was something flying, and my cat spotted it, and I woke up, and there it was, a bat. Well, I freaked out, you know, I ran out, left the poor cat and the dog in the room with it, and then I proceeded to try and learn about what I could do, and I was very concerned because I was looking up, you know, do they carry, there's a 2% carry rabies, and they say that if you, there was an article, and it said if you're in, you're sleeping,
the
and you wake up to a bat
was,
in the bedroom,
yes.
You could actually have been bitten, not even know it.
Yes.
So they were suggesting that, well, then maybe you need shots. So I didn't know what to do, and in Albany, they didn't want to quite say come, but they didn't say no, don't come. And so what I did is I brought my animals to get checked and said, let me cross my fingers. I took a chance, but
well, one of the things, I mean, the panic that is instilled in most any mammal can carry rabies. You can
even
have a rabbit
chokes,
do
yeah.
Any mammal. If it's bit by a rabbit animal, It can carry rabies. If it, you know, it's as simple as that. You can have a rabbit as docile as they look, and rabies doesn't always present itself with, you know, anger and that Cujo look. You know, there's also another side of it which is very docile. So you can have this most aggressive animal, like a red or a gray fox, just kind of wander up to you and looking like your neighbor's cat. There's you know, people. It can present itself in both ways. But as far as the bats, you know, the percentage of disease that mosquitoes carry is so much higher as opposed to the percentage that bats carry rabies. So as opposed to ripping your roof apart or trying to take half the roof to get rid of the bats, you know, I recommend that some people put up bat boxes.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, you put up your bat box as long as there's some place for them to go. I mean, you can have certain species of bats that'll eat 1,500 mosquitoes in a night. And, you know, that's what we want, especially. I mean, now we're hoping for a little rain. But if we would have had a moist summer, spring and summer, as if continued from last year's flooding and all that, we would be inundated with mosquitoes right now. And mosquitoes carry disease like many other things. Mm-hmm. So there's a happy medium in between, which is what I'm trying to accomplish. You know, I can't save every animal. I can't save, but there's got to be a happy medium where we can all peacefully coexist. Even a bat, you know, They're here for a reason. They have, and I would much rather have bats than mosquitoes, considering.
Well, I know they're supposed to be very important. I freaked out, though.
Well, everything's important until we lose it. You know, nothing has the importance that it should. Everything should be respected and realized that it has a place here. But normally we don't care enough until they're on an endangered or threatened list. And then we go all out and blow millions of dollars to save, you know, whether it's a bat or a whale or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just took the same precautions to respect it all equally, it would save us a fortune.
I think in
misfortune, because we don't wait until something's almost extinct before we put an effort into saving it. Meanwhile.
Well, I think that's an important word we should get into. I'd like to take just a couple of minute break. And I found this wonderful rap song it was first put out by Lil Peppy, and it was about Mother Nature's crying and now taking care of the earth, whether it be with energy, you know, to find clean energy, or whether it just not putting garbage to kill our animals or whatever. But it's a great little rap song, and we'll play.
If we don't take care of a planet Earth, she'll die. We're doing our part, what about you?
What's going on in this world that we live in? Too much taking and not enough giving. Mother Nature.
Let me read this for you. There was a time we were big and brawny. Now even some of our daddies are sickly and scrawny. On bread and donuts, we cannot survive. If you leave us be in the woods, we will thrive. This wonderful place holds all of our needs. Please put away your garbage and the urge to feed. Each time you feed us, our fates you do seal. I'll probably be killed just for that meal. They call us a menace, why I don't know. No garbage, no food. I would not go. Some of you think you're helping us live. If it's praise you want, I have none to give. I can't thank you for what you have done, for bringing us closer to the man with the gun. I know he must do it to protect your home, but we have our bounty if you leave us alone. They're killing us off one by one. Can you live with the guilt of what you have done? And that was by my guest, Missy, in 2009. Let's talk about the bears.
Well, it's unfortunately, it's one of those ongoing conversations. You saw at the center there, we hit by car mom, we bring in the cubs, we send them up north, we bring them back. When they're a little over 100 pounds, DEC will release them. And then you come back and you go through all this effort and you find out 10 minutes later that they're going to shoot another one, because somebody left their garbage unsecured or the windows open with like repulsive garbage inside the house, and that becomes a home invasion bear. And it's unfair. It's the people are lucky enough to live in this beautiful place, and they have no respect for it, no respect for the animals that live here, your neighbors. I mean, I was explaining to somebody yesterday that lives in Haines Falls. Haines Falls happens to be one of my biggest problem areas. And there is a woman there that constantly feeds the bears. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She's constantly feeding them, purposely purchases food for them, which, of course, is illegal. It's illegal to accidentally or on purpose feed the bears. If you will, DEC can give you a fine or a warning first and then a fine. And what happens is at whatever age you may be, if something happens to you and every day you feed the bears and they get used to it. And they know the food comes from behind you, whether it's a door, a window, whatever it is. And then one day you don't come with the food. Well, they're going to go in and get the food. And if territorial fights erupt, the bear's going to go to the next, house. They don't know house. I'm not saying they're that intelligent where they know houses and shapes. But they figure out where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And people are now, instead of running from people, they're saying, well, wherever she goes, there's food behind that door. And, the people who are feeding this, I kind of want everybody to be in the same uproar, if you will. Because the people who are feeding the bears, the people who are abating them or basically signing their death warrant, they're also putting your home, everything. I mean, you pay somewhere between $1,000 to $2,500. Some people have a higher mortgage than that. And you can't go out for the day if you live in certain areas. Because if you do, a bear's going to break in, and that's what people think. So, and it's because of your neighbor. It's because, so if everybody would kind of unite and put an end to it or call DEC, you can call them. There's an anonymous tip line. I'm not sure the number off the top of my head, but you can call them. And you can say, this person's feeding the bears and this or that. And that's the only thing that kind of gets the ball rolling to stop, to stop the constant abuse of feeding and baiting and things like that. I mean, there are certain people that'll come up during hunting season, and they said, well, I can't even believe that you would talk to a hunter, or I have more respect for a hunter that goes and finds a bear than I do for somebody who's baiting them in for 30 hunters to find on the edge of their property. It's a ridiculous situation that people just won't grasp that what they're doing is putting people's homes and lives. And
technically, though, it is not legal to feed a bear.
No, it's not legal. It's illegal.
So
yes,
what it so then it amazes me that you have this problem, this ongoing problem with an elderly person also that's been feeding your bears.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and there are so many. There's one elderly person, yes, but there are
so many more.
They want a picture of it. They say, "Oh, we'll just do it today," and they don't. They do it and go away, and they come for the weekend. But feeding the bears, and I'm making the quotation signs right now, because feeding the bears does not just necessarily mean putting food out for today. Feeding the bears is even, you know, not securing your garbage. Businesses in the local area and surrounding areas, they publicize, come visit the Catskills and see our bears and see da da da. But meanwhile, you have the unsecured dumpsters and you just throw your garbage out curbside. And it's the same thing. You're publicizing this beautiful place we live in, but yet you just throw all your garbage outside and the bears come. So it's business drawing, and it's kind of a catch-22, because if I'm not mistaken, I believe the DEC law is you have to get a written warning first, and then to be caught for the second time. And
so it's one of those laws that, you know, it's there, it's decorative.
That's correct.
Nobody pays any attention
to it. You know, and it's a shame because, you know, there's more than I care to share how many, you know, bears are killed because of it. And then, like I said, it's all curbside. Well, what's on the curb is, right, 6 inches from the curb is a car. And from that car, they're hit by cars. And usually we can get, you know, try and get the cubs and some of the DEC biologists and whatnot. They'll work with us and we can get the cubs into rehab, but we wouldn't have to do that. You know, if you talk to somebody over the age of, I don't know, 45, and you ask them, and they'll tell you they never saw a bear. Not once did they see a bear. I mean, even older than that, ask somebody 60 or better, and they have never seen a bear until now.
Until recently.
The blatant disregard.
And we'll be seeing even what I think recently in Rensselaer County, and then there was one I know on the news in Connecticut, a place that never saw bears.
Well, it's because everybody lost respect. You know, mm-hmm. They lost the younger generations, and I have to say it's even some of the old timers. You know, it's a great thing to say this is what we do, but you know, years ago, before they knew what a wildlife rehabilitator was, if I go to one more educational program and they say, "Oh, Grandpa used to raise deer in the barn, and we used to have owls in the living room," and you know, it doesn't mean that was the right thing to do.
Right.
Of course, it's illegal in New York State to harbor any kind of indigenous New York State wildlife.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to find a rehabilitator. And, you know, it's better for the animal as well as it keeps down, you know, the spread of disease and things like that. We're educated and trained at what we're supposed to be and licensed. And, you know, you saw the intense work that goes into the caging and what each specific animal needs before they get, you know, things like metabolic bone disease and malnutrition. So there's a lot involved to it, and it's not state-funded. DEC does issue the permits for it, and along with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the federal government does. But it's not funded by either organization. It's all based upon donations and things like that. But
well, you know, I keep meaning to remember, because I want to tell everyone that the Friends of the Feathered and Furry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how I say it? It has a web page, and it's fffwildlifecenter.com. You can also call 518-989-6534 or 518-965-1864. So, you know, Missy, what I would like is that Greene County makes all these signs on its roads, right, that says Greene County loves its wildlife. Please do not feed any of our wildlife. Something.
Well, that would be absolutely wonderful.
This way, when people are driving up, you know, kids will say, you know, mommy, what does that mean? I can't feed the ducks. And yes, no, you can't, because I remember someone when I lived in Catskill, there was a pond on a private, and this one duck lived there all the time. But he would never go back into. He could get out, but he just kind of stayed and would be fed. But I was reading that you shouldn't feed them.
Well, one of the things, the reason that you shouldn't feed geese, and it's most people grab white bread. And white bread, if I'm sure if you looked at the list years ago, it used to have formaldehyde in it. And yeah. and it's actually a fake caloric intake. By the time the birds get the white bread, it's swelling in the crop or whatever bird may eat it. It's a false sense of being full. So they're not out looking for what they should be looking for. And they recommend it if you were going to walk through places like that or be in a park. And then, you know, you never want to discourage any child or any person for having that family moment from appreciating the wildlife. So they recommended you, you know, you grab a handful of cracked corn or something like that for a situation. And that's it's like that. But it was a lot of animals starving to death because there is no nutrition in a loaf of white bread that people would buy for, well, now I don't think you can get a loaf of bread for cheaper than $4. But before, it was, you know, $1, $1.50, and they could feed the ducks for the afternoon. But it was normally white bread that had no caloric or no nutritional value whatsoever. So the animal, in turn, even if you fed them every day, would still starve to death because there's nothing that they're getting from it except a false sense of being full.
Now, you do have volunteers that you get at your center.
I am so lucky, but yes, I
how many do you have presently?
You know, the ones that come weekly that I can rely on a daily basis, there's six of them. And then I have countless that I can put up a post on our webpage or on a Facebook page, and that there's an animal. You know, we go down from everywhere, from Brewster to Albany, up past Albany. We got a deer out of, you know, as far as, depending on the situation, and some, like I said, you know, there's other rehabbers that they couldn't get in touch with, or, and if it's critical, I mean, we've gone as far as 2, 3, 4 hours away.
Wow.
And I'll just put something up on Facebook, and there's a volunteer that says, oh, I'll bring them in to you, and they travel from, you know, whether it's Monroe or up past Binghamton, whatever it may be, and they get them to us so that we can.
Oh, that's so helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, do you have, do you get them mostly from schools?
What I have now is everybody over 35 years old. I mean, I have some younger ones, but, you know, I have, there's a couple wildlife biology students that need that want the hands-on experience working with wildlife and things like that. But a lot of them is just dedicated animal, you know, enthusiasts. They just, and they come in and they just want to learn as much as they possibly can. And they still cry at every release, whether it's a songbird or, you know, a hawk.
Is there a nearby high school near you?
Yeah, Hunter Tannersville and Wyndham Ashland as well.
And, you know, do they know
mm-hmm.
of your center?
Yep,
do they,
a lot of their seniors in 9 through 12, they get their community service hours by help. It kind of feels like, kind of sounds like a jail sentence, but they get their community service hours with me. And whether, like I said, whether it's anything from publicizing, making flyers, and there are those who love the bottle aspect of it, you know, to cleaning cages. Each person that volunteers has their own little niche, you know,
that they
their
would
own
like
little
to contribute.
form of contributing. You know, we have one that's better. You know, somebody's better with the computer, and so there's anything they can do to help. And that's how most of the volunteers are.
Okay, let me play one more break. And I believe it's a song called Send It On. It's a very pretty song about the earth. Here you go.
just a word, so you mean what you say.
And love isn't love till you give it away.
We've all got a gift,
yes, something to give
to make a change. Send it on.
Chances, change circumstances.
Imagine all we can do.
We're back again, and I'm talking to Barbara Runyon of the Friends of the Feathered and Furry Wildlife Center. Remember, please go to the website, which is fffwildlifecenter.com. They're also on Facebook, by the way. And you can always write this number down, 518-989-6534 or 518-965-1864. You know, Barbara, I wanted to, at which she's also known as Missy most of the time.
Yeah, right? I have to remember,
yes,
to answer you.
I have
you.
To say, because you're Missy. do you ever, like, arrange for, groups of people to see your center?
I try not. Actually, I don't. The animals that you were able to see the other day by volunteering with me, those are rehab animals. They are animals that, as you can tell, like the gray fox, are very pleasant, and I use that term very sarcastically. And that's how I need them to be. I need them to dislike people and go away.
Oh, it disliked me,
absolutely.
Boy.
And that's what they're supposed to do. You will not see a picture of me in an article in a newspaper holding and hand-feeding an adult animal. If they reach that point where they cannot self-feed, you know, euthanasia to me is a right for that animal. There's no happy medium between mere existence for them. There's wild. I mean, you can tell that those two gray fox were actually the little girl was dead in the road, on barely breathing, and we were able to get her breathing and functioning, and she can't just merely function. She has to thrive, and if they're not going to thrive, it's cruel and unusual punishment for me to keep her, because no matter what her body's doing, whether it's physically just kind of, and she's not lunging at me or growling or snarling, in her mind, she's lunging, she's snarling, she's disliking the mere fact that I'm even there. And to keep her, if her mind wasn't lining up with her physical function, then I'm torturing that poor animal, mm-hmm. because automatically they know they're wild, whether it's the smallest of squirrels to, you know, the largest of bear. They know they're not supposed to be pets. I mean, in all these years, I have Shmoo, Maisie, Braveheart, and even they, you know, they tolerate me, but they're happy in their existence because they're fed, and, you know, I don't push the limits. I do educational programs with the hawks and whatnot, and they say, do they do tricks? And I'll have to, you know, crack a smile and say, their only trick is they were hit by a car, and poof, they're still here. That's their
that's
trick,
right.
You know?
Right.
And if some people, always, you know, you always have that controversy between keeping a wild animal as a pet. So I'm a big advocate that they should not be. But my educational birds are not pets.
No.
They are, you saw the enclosures, the great lengths we go to keep them wild, except I bring them with me to schools because when you lay eyes on Shmoo,
barn owl, but he's blind also.
Yes. But when you lay eyes on Shmoo, it to a kid, to an adult, to somebody who had zero respect for wildlife, trees, nature, anything before, even people. And then I explained to you that if you throw your garbage out in the street, you could kill her. She will get tangled in it. If you target shoot into an empty tree, you could shoot right through a mm-hmm. nest of owls. If you do not have a backdrop where you're target shooting, if you speed, it's 80 miles an hour while Shmoo is hunting, you can just literally just kill her. And you'd be surprised at how many people slow down, and they won't do it for you and me, but they'll do it because they met Shmoo, Maisie, Apollo, or Braver, or Willow, you know? So everything in moderation, if you will, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a big responsibility keeping mm-hmm. them healthy and vet care and things like that, but it's a necessity.
I'm going to try to get the picture you took of me at the Carol Fair.
Yes.
With you and me and Shmoo.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful picture of Shmoo. I'll try to put it on the website when I download the show.
Okay.
Download the show. Now, the other thing is you had a fundraiser. You were in the Woodstock Times and you were in the Daily Mail for May.
Yes.
When you had the fundraising.
No, I'm a small, you know, local celeb. No, I'm kidding. I'm not
a
celebrity.
But I mean, your center has been, you had a fundraising in May,
mm-hmm.
right? What was I?
It was basically an awareness fundraiser. It was to let people know what it is I do and to the, you know, great lengths we go to and to get, try and raise some money because of vet care. And, you know, we just did surgery a couple weeks ago, more like almost 3 months ago. On an owl, whereas, you know, a great veterinarian, she was hit by a car, the wing split in half, he put her wing back together, and now she can fly. I mean, no matter what it costs or whatever the case may be, you know, that's what we raise money for. Each small mammal that comes in requires a different formula. They all don't, you know, you don't just buy a bag of milk and feed everybody. Each one requires a different protein count, different calcium. So that was the fundraiser was for the enclosures that you saw. You know, this is bear country, so I have to build an enclosure that can't get...
Let's not forget and give credit to your wonderful husband who does that building, right?
I have a lot of volunteers.
A lot of volunteers?
That do a lot of different things, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's beautiful work.
Yes.
I took pictures of all of these wonderful animals that you're going to have to name them for me when we're finished here so that I have some kind of educational reference that I can look at.
Absolutely.
Beautiful, beautiful animals. And I'm sorry that I missed the little bear cub.
Yeah, well, he'll hopefully, I mean, you know, we try to get them in, get them healthy and back out, or, you know, back into, there's a place up north, which is a great friend of mine, and she does conveyor belt feeding, and it is so that they have no human contact, and it is the one and only place that I will ever let, you know, but it's 4 hours from here, and if they can't make the transport, they need to be stabilized before they can go, or... So it's a great collaboration of work, but it's anything. It's, you know, if it's something from a fox or a coyote or a hawk or whatever, it needs to get somewhere, and it involves so many people. It's not just me or you.
May I ask everyone out there who's listening and who might like to just be put on a list that possibly, if there is a rescue necessary or a transport necessary and you'd like to do some good deed, you can go to the website, go to fffwildlifecenter.com or Facebook, and you can contact Missy.
Yep, you can send it at missy@fffwildlifecenter.com as well. And usually what we do is we ask you to send just the information of where I can, like what town. If you work in Albany, let's say, and you're coming through Hudson Daly, so then you just tell me, I'm in Albany every day, and I go to Hudson. So then, and I'd be happy to pick something up in between at what time that you're headed home.
Mm-hmm.
And from that list, we always gain, oh, well, so-and-so is in Albany, and she'll be coming into Hudson. And then we have so-and-so that'll pick them up in Hudson and bring them to us. So,
you know, Missy, what I love about doing this show, even though it's only once a month, I learn so many great things, and I meet so many wonderful people, and I'm so happy to have met you, and I'm glad to have brought this information on WGXC. So I hope we keep in touch. I have your beautiful poem on my window on Main Street in Carroll, so if you're passing through Main Street, you'll see her beautiful poem, and I really want to thank you for being with us and giving us all this great information.
I hope there's a
renewed appreciation of all of what you do for these wild animals, because we need it. We really need to get our children started and some old folks starting to look at the world and appreciate our wildlife. So here we go.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Bye, everybody.